see, brother, how, or whoever done's got posters here about the revival. You ought to get them and give them out. Where Brother Tompkins is going to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 40. Lord's good, and I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy every day. The only thing that makes me worthy is the blood of Jesus Christ. Over in Psalms 40, beginning with verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Father, I thank You, Lord, for a chance to preach the Word of God. I pray for Preacher Hyatt, You'd help him tonight. God, You'd use him like You've never used him before, God. I pray, oh God, You'd just anoint him and God preach through him, Lord. I pray tonight You'd help us here. And God, it might be a blessing to each and one here, God, and I pray You speak through me, clothe me with my calling. And God, I never asked to preach the Word of God, but You called me. So God, I always depend on You. I pray You bless those that's here, if there's someone here that's discouraged or maybe not even saved, they might get saved before it's everlasting too late. Help us now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 40 is there's been a lot of messages preached out of Psalms 40. And I just want to look at this here. And I want you to look at a wonderful testimony. A wonderful testimony. God gives us in the Word to let the redeemed, He says in the Word, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And here's the psalmist tells us of four things in this testimony of that we should tell about. And we should tell how God saved us and picked us up. And start when he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. You know, that tells me there that he's concerned about me. Amen. He's concerned about my cry, about my problems. It says he declined his ear. He leaned over toward me and to hear my cry as I cried out unto him. Even as a saved man saved a child of God, he leans down and he's concerned about your prayers. He's concerned about your cry. About your troubles and your problems tonight. He's concerned every time you have a problem and you got a problem in your life. He wants to know about it. And you cry out to him and he tell him all about your problems. And he listens to them. Yeah. I'm glad he's always listening to what I got to say. He never sleeps and never slumbers. He's always awake. He's always standing waiting to hear from you. Many times we don't pray and don't hear talk back to him. But in verse 1, it says that he waited patiently on for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And then in verse 2, it said he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I want to give you four things here that we can consider tonight. He testifies that he has lifted me up from a horrible pit and from a miry clay. And I'm telling you what, tonight, Jesus Christ, August 15, 1976, he brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet on a solid rock. And I'm telling you what, I've been going for the Lord ever since. I might fall once in a while and I might stumble, but you know what? I get up and he picks me up and he keeps me going on. And I just keep going, marching on, because we're soldiers. We're soldiers under Christ, and we just keep marching and marching for God Almighty. And one day He's going to come back and take us out of this sin-sick world. But He testifies here. He brought me up from a terrible pit, from a miry clay. And I read and studied on a pit in the Bible, and they put people down in a pit, and the pit was like a funnel upside down to come up to a point, and they had a hole in the top, and they would drop people down in that pit, and it'd be all muddy and mire and clay. And they'd be down in that pit and they'd imprison them in it. But I'm telling you what, a God reached down. The Lord, pick me up out of that miry pit. Set my feet on a solid rock. Thank God I'm not walking in that miry pit no more. I got my eyes set on the street of glory. One day I'm going to walk on that street of gold. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be walking on this earth no more. Thank God. I don't believe it's going to be long. We're going to be out of this world. We're going to get out from under this bearing these burdens and all we bear. Thank God we're going to go and go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day. Brother, I'm looking when that trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. And I believe it could be any second. I believe we cannot leave His place right now. I'm looking to the end time. I see all the signs on every hand. And Jesus is coming, believe it or not. I'm telling you what. And number one, He testifies that He's lifted me up from a mire, from a terrible pit and miry clay. And this reminds us of the sinful state that I was in. In Isaiah 5 and 6 says, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will be revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one that does good. I'm telling you what, we was all lost and undone without God. I was walking in this lost, a dead man. And that's what you are when you're not saved. You're dead as all your trespasses and sin. Everything I did was nothing for God. I didn't glorify God in my sinful life. I was lost and undone without God in my wicked ways. Jesus Christ, He went to the cross of Calvary. He died for me. 2,000 years or whatever ago, He died on the cross of Calvary. Shed His blood for me. And He could see me. And He saw me in my sins. Wicked and foul. Undone without God. And He saved my soul. Bible said no man layeth down his life for a brother. Ain't nobody going to do that. Only one man did that, and that was Jesus Christ. He laid down His life for us as sinners. He gave up His life. No man took it from Him. He gave it up. But this reminds us of a sinful state. And where He talks about, He picked us up from a horrible pit. Just think of the state that you was in. The sinful state, the wicked state. You know, these people out on the streets tonight, that there are nobody I have nothing to do with them. People walk down the streets and you can just smell the liquor and the stink from them. But yet Jesus Christ died for that soul. He died for those in the jail up there. We go up there and preach in the jail, and then boys come in there, and I wonder, well, why are they in the jail? They seem like nice young guys, but they sinned, and they done the wrong, and they got put in jail. Maybe they was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No doubt we could be in the same shape, the same place, if we wasn't saved and born again. No doubt, I know there's no doubt in my mind, when I was lost and undone, I should have been in jail many a time. Thank for the grace of God.
Thank you.
This is from the terrible pit in the miry clay, and this reminds us of a sinful state, and this also rejoices our heart because of forgiveness. If it had not been forgiveness, where would you be tonight? Acts 8:39 says, and when they were come out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He caught him up and he was gone, and the eunuch come up rejoicing, thanking God for what God had done for him. Oh, day I got saved and born again. And as I've testified, you know, I made a profession. I come down and I thought I was just getting my life right. But like a week later or so, I realized, hey, I got saved. Hey, I got forgiven of my sins. God done something different in my life. My life has changed. I'm not the same as I used to be. Some people come down and they just wicked and foul, and God saves them, and they get up and just go on for God. 20, 30 years later, you see them. They still marching on for God. And then you got some people come down and they make a big show and, oh, they crying and weeping and getting up and you can't never find them no more. They didn't get saved. They make a profession, but they don't make possession. But I'm glad God will forgive you. He said if you confess your sins, He's faithful just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is rejoices our heart because of a forgiveness of sins. In Luke 7:36, it said one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly said. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs on her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since this time I came hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil didst not thou anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with anointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at the meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said this to this woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go and be in peace. I'm glad Jesus said that day I got saved. He said, go and be in peace. Hey, I don't have to worry no more, brother. I don't have to worry when I lay my head down if I'm going to die and go to hell. I don't have to worry if I'm in a car wreck if I'm going to die and go to hell. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ washed away my sins, cleansed me and made me whole. Thank God. I'm glad Jesus died on the cross for me. He died enough for me just to die for me. It's a personal thing. I'm glad it was so personal that He seen me, that I was going to die and go to hell. And He died and took my place and went down to hell and suffered what we would suffer. And then come up and rose again on the third day sitting on the right hand of God Almighty.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm glad when God looks down, He looks down through the blood of the Lamb of God. Thank God, I'm glad I'm saved. I ain't got to have a hope so, a think so. I got to know so. Holy, I know I'm saved. And then also this reassures us as of our Savior's love. This forgiveness we see when Christ died for us, how He suffered all those stripes when they beat Him and they spit on Him and they beat Him and they beat Him in the head with a reed and with a crown of thorns on Him and they took the cat of nine tails and they lashed Him and cut Him to pieces. We can see the suffering that He did for us.
Yeah. Right.
I'm glad I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he lay it down for you. Hey, they didn't have to fight him when they put him on the cross. But I'd be kicking and screaming and moving. I'd be doing everything. But he laid down his life. He laid it down for me. He looked out and saw you. And he laid down his life just for you, that you might be able to go to heaven. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell over the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, next of all, he testifies to the fact that the Lord leads his own. In verse 2, it says there, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the solid rock. And he said, and established my goings. He established my goings. He put me on the right path. I'm on that path where Jesus put me. And I've been marching on that path for 38 years. And I'll keep going on. Sometimes, I'm not going to lie to you, it gets rough. Sometimes it gets rugged. Sometimes the winds and the waves and the storms come against me. But I keep going on. Keep going on for the Lord. And then one day, hallelujah, that trumpet's going to sound. And I'm going to see the clouds. And I'm going to see Jesus step out, hallelujah. And we which are alive, we're going to go up and meet those which are dead in the air. We're going to all go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I got that assurance, buddy, that I'm going to be there. And he, under this, where he establishes our goings, he leads us for his name's sake. He leads you. In Psalms 23, he says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake, he leads me to go out and be a testimony for him. He leads me to go out to where I go preach and go tell people about. He leads you every day of your life. You're saved. He's got you. He's leading you. You know, you go down the road and a car pulls out and man, you think you hit your slate. You brakes, you say, well, thank God. You thank God, and sometimes you think, well, man, I'd hit that stop sign. It's like it took forever, and there'd be a wreck down. You'd say, well, God would just lead me. Thank God I got a God who cares about me. Many times in this life, people go down the road, and they get killed and die, and they go to hell. Can you think how bad it would be to die and go to hell from a Baptist church that preaches the Word of God the way this church preaches the Word of God, the way Brother Hyde stands and gives his soul and gives it all to you and preaches the Word of God. He leads us for his name's sake. Psalms 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, he leadeth me and guideth me. And then next, under word, he established my goings. He leads me for his name's sake. Then he leads me for my neighbor's sake. John 4:28 said, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto him, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And that's the way we are as a child of God. We go out to tell our neighbors about Christ, to tell our brethren about Christ, tell our sisters and fathers and mothers. We go out and tell them about Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do, be a mouthpiece. A lot of people don't be a mouthpiece. They don't know. They act like they're scared, but yet you get them talking about a ball game and get them talking about their favorite soap opera or something like that. Oh, their mouth will run 100 miles a minute. But then you get to tell them about Jesus. They clam up and ain't got nothing to say. Why don't you have something to say? He saved you. He's going to keep you out of hell. Surely you can give your testimony. Tell them what God did for you, how Jesus died for you. But he leads us for our neighbor's sake. In John 4:29, as I said, he said, come see a man. Come see a man. She went and told that town, told everybody, come see a man who told me all things. It's a fascinating thing, buddy. And it's exciting when you lead somebody to the Lord and they get down and they cry out to God and you see them get saved. And then you see them years later, Brother Danny, that are still going on for God. Man, it just excites my soul. This day and time, people say they get saved and the FBI can't find them. Because they just don't come back no more. They just think they're saved and that's it.
Yeah, that's
I don't know if they got saved or not, but I tell you what. There's a song, Must I Go Empty Handed? And you get to heaven, are you going to have crowns to give to the Lord? But I want something to give to God.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I want something. Some kind of crown. I don't want woodhead stubble that's going to burn up. I want a crown that's going to last that I'll be able to give to the Lord. Over there in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about where he'll come back wearing a crown with many crowns in it. I believe that man, that crown he's talking about has got a piece of your crown made into that one crown. Everyone's crown is made by that one big, that one crown is made into that. I want to have a piece in that. I like to have a piece of that crown. But he leads us for our neighbor's sake. He establishes my going. And then he leads us for our new nature's sake. Hey, it says that I was saved. It says that I become a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things become new. Hey, I got a new nature in me. I don't have a new creation. I'm a new creature. I'm a new nature. And he said, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as them are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm telling you what, that sounds good. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. I've been adopted into the family of God. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus Christ loved me enough that he made me a new creature. Galatians 5:20 says, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immutilations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and such there is no law. I tell you what, I want to be in that crowd. I want to be in the crowd where I've got long suffering. In Galatians 5:24 it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But you got to crucify this flesh daily. You got to crucify. You want your testimony to have a wonderful testimony. As David spoke up, the psalmist did. Here it is. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. I want a good testimony. And it's lost and dying world that if somebody sees me, they'll know that there's something different about me. I don't want them when judgment day comes and they die and go to hell and they stand up there one day at the great white throne and I got their blood dripping from my hands. I don't want that. I want them to be up there and I want God to say, thy good faithful servant. I want to be a testimony in this life. And then number three, he testifies that he has learned something. And down here in verse 3, he said, and he hath put a new song in my heart. And Brother Keith was talking about him singing that song in his heart. I thought about that. I thought that's in my message. Note here, the song and praise is praise to God. You know, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving in Psalm 69:30. You know, I get in the car, or I get out there mowing, and I get a song on my heart, and I might not remember all the verses, but I get to singing them, and I get to sing and go around, and I feel the Spirit of God, and I feel God moving, and just thank you, God, that I got a song in my heart. It's not that I'm cheating hard or some old country western song. It's a song about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, all people can't sing this song. You get people to get out of the will of God. And, you know, then they forget to forgetting where they come from. They're forgetting what God done for them. And next thing you know, Satan's got them singing them old country western songs or them old songs that they hear on other radio stations. And over in Psalms 137:1 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they are carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing a song, sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Hey, if you're not walking with God, you're walking in a strange land. You're walking in this old earthly, worldly land today and singing their song. How's somebody going to look at your life and see that you're saved and born again when you sing the same thing, you talk the same way, and you act the same way they do? You got to have a separate walk, a new walk, a clean talk. Don't go around talking the way they do. And then the number of songs that we can sing, man, there's plenty of them. How about over in 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that though He was rich, yet He forsakes His, He become poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We can sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And buddy, I think of that. Amazing grace. And it took amazing grace, Brother Robert, to reach down and pick you up out of your sins and cleanse you up and make a fit creature out of it. Made put royal blood in your veins. Made you a child of the King. The number of songs we can sing, power in the blood. Oh, I like that one. There's power in the blood. Romans 5:9 says, much more being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. You take a Buddha and all them other rascals over there, they ain't shed no blood. They didn't die on no cross. Hallelujah, thank God. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for an old hell-bound sinners. I tell you, He looked down, our knees must go down. He said, our knees must have died for you and you. He died for us, a child of the God. His creation, the one He created. Hallelujah. Thank God. Glad I'm saved today. And then what a friend we have in Jesus. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath a friend, friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad he's closer than a brother. I tell you what, they say blood's thicker than water, but a lot of times your kin people will run off and leave you. Thank God. I cry out to the Lord, and He hears my cries. And then last of all, He testifies to His life after the Lord saved him. Then verse 3, He put a song, a new song in my heart and in my mouth, even praises unto God, and many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many's looking at your life. We're a living epistle today to people who don't know God. And they read your life and they look at men and they see how they live and how they profess. I mean, I've seen them. They say, oh, I love this. I'm saved and all this. The next thing you know, they're over here telling dirty jokes. They're over here cussing. I tell you what, when I go somewhere, I keep my eyes observed on people. And I go into a restaurant, I look around, and you see people put their head down. You'll see them grab their hands and some say their blessings. I don't know if they're saved or not, but that's evidence they might be. Hey, when somebody cries out to God, and the little kids of mine all put their heads down, and they say their blessings because they've been taught to say their blessings and give God your thanks for their food. Amen. Amen. Then you see these other people who dive in like a bunch of pigs. They don't thank God for their food. So many shall see it and trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are the epistles written in our hearts. Know and read all men. And then we are to let our light so shine before men. You know, a lot of people go on a job and they think, or go out somewhere and they say, well, I'm not going to let nobody know that I'm a Christian. How can you help but not let it know? Shall your light shine before men? If you're saved and born again, it's going to shine. Oh, Peter, he tried to cover up and he got out there and they said, your speech betrays you. So what did he do? He ended up cursing God. We're to let our light shine before God, before men. In Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You can't hide your light under a bushel. Man, you got to let it shine. I've seen on TV where I forget what they was advertising, but they said, I forget if it's like 10 miles or what, they can light a candle. It was so many football fields away, and your eye could see that candle. Now, see, that's the way you ought to be as a child of God. That's the way I ought to be as a child of God. People see you, around you, talk to you. They say, there's something different. There's something about that person. Just something about that person. And most of these lost people, they say, oh, they got religion. They got religion. You hear about so-and-so, they got religion.
Yeah.
They don't know, buddy. I got salvation, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to hell to going to heaven, thank God. I'm on that path. I'm on that narrow way. And then we all lead others to trust and confess Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, before men. Romans 10:10 says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew 10:32-33 says, For whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before him, I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you what, these people, what did I reckon they said that they got saved, and I showed them how to be saved. And I've seen them live for God for a while, and I've seen them get out of the will of God, and I've seen God kill them. And God killed them. And then I've seen other people say they're saved, and you know, they say, oh yeah, they got saved, and then they never go to church. They never go do nothing for God. You never hear them talk about God. They never mention God. They never have nothing to do with God. Hey, I go to an apple tree, I want apples.
Amen.
I don't go to that apple tree wanting pears. Hey, when I come to you, like Brother Hyde said, he said the other day when he was over at my house, me and him, you know, we hadn't really said much about God, but there was just a spirit there. My spirit was bearing witness with his. And then my brother Chris Sadler, my friend, come over. And then there was just a union. We just had fellowship. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot said about God. But I'm telling you what, there's a fellowship amongst the brethren. You can't have it amongst this world. You can't have it. I'm glad today I'm saved. And I'm glad today that I'm where God wants me. And I'm telling you right now, I thank you and I appreciate you praying for me and helping me. And God was good. Well, Sunday God met. And I appreciate all of you praying. People come down to the altar. Sunday night, God had a moving. More people come to the altar. And I'm glad God is using. I might be 59 years old. And it breaks my heart that things couldn't happen in my life earlier. And I'm waiting until I'm almost dead for it to happen. But thank God, I want to keep going on for God. I want to stand preaching the Word of God. I want to stand fast holding the Word and proclaiming the Word of God, that this world might know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And He died as my Savior. Thank God. I'm going to give you this before I close. I can't help this. I said this at the school where I preached this morning. I was watching TV the other day. It was a show, and they was talking. Got to talk. No, it was on the radio. I was listening to the radio, WRNA. And there was this rabbi on there, and he was talking. Got talking about Joel Osteen. Now get this. He said they have 30 to 50,000 people at that place. 30 to 50,000. They said his wife got up there before he got up there and done whatever he done. He didn't preach. And she told them people, she said, listen, just do what feels good. If it feels good, just do it. That makes you feel good, just do it. And God will prosper you. Just do what makes you feel good. I'm going to tell you what, that's abomination in the eyes of God. I wish I had 5 minutes to preach. If they give me 5 minutes before they run me out, they'd know they're going to hell. They know there's a living hell waiting on them. They know that if Jesus Christ died for them, they know He shed the blood for them. I'll tell you one thing, they would not ever be able to say, I didn't tell them. Just think how hot hell's going to be for that man. I tell you what, he's just damning all them souls to hell. And that's pitiful. Now that breaks my heart to think someone, and all them people just eating it up. That's this day we're living in, just tickling behind the ears. They want them tickled behind the ears, just give them fables. You know, everything goes smooth. Oh, yeah, everything's good. There ain't nothing wrong. Just do what makes you feel good. They like Burger King. They want to have it their way. I'm telling you, thank God for a church that stands on the Word of God. Thank God. Our Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I'm so thankful that I'm here tonight. I'm thankful, God, these people are here tonight, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, oh God, you help us to band together in unity, Lord. And band together in prayer, God, and uplift our pastor. And oh God, here he pray up there preaching. And God, let him preach like he's never preached before. I pray, God, you'd use him like you've never used him before. Anointing God with his calling. I pray, God, you'd bring him back safely to us, Lord. Take care of him, God. Take care of our church. Give us a good service Sunday morning. I pray, oh God, you'd drive back the opposing powers of hell this week. Help these people and all of us, God, that we might walk wherein you'd have us to walk. Be a testimony wherein you'd have us to be. That we might tell somebody about Jesus Christ in these last days. If you need to come down to the altar.